we all desire and which we all yearn to see in our lifetime. How many people expect to see the power of God move in this generation in a more powerful, powerful way? Come on, this generation needs to witness the power of God. We need to see God's power moving profoundly in this generation. And I believe that as we continue to sow, we're going to see fruit abounding to our heavenly account. And God is a God whose miracles will shape a nation. Do you believe that? I believe God's miracles will shape the nation. And I believe that as we look to God for this nation, for this community, for this government, for this land of New Zealand, we're going to see a New Zealand overshadow this land, and it's going to be a revival cloud of glory. Amen. A revival cloud of the Holy Ghost. They don't call this land the land of the long white cloud. I believe that there is a prophetic statement within that analogy, within that terminology, and that is that God is overshadowing, foreshadowing things to come, but overshadowing this nation under the shadow of his mighty, mighty wing. Under the shadow of his wings, this nation's going to be lifted up in the power of God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to come around a short time in the Word before we minister to individual people, to people as God wills, and as to groups of people as the Holy Ghost desires and wants to move. We're going to allow the Holy Ghost the freedom to move as he directs and as he commands. It is so imperative that we don't emerge as a controlling generation, but a generation that is at liberty to be able to flow and go with the flowing of the Spirit. You know, that's all about flowing in relationship with God, flowing and move with God, and in the path of the direction of God without conflicting against God's move. When we come into contention with the move of God, we work in opposition against the flow of the Spirit, and we want to be totally within the pathway of the Holy Ghost Führer. I tell you what, when the Holy Ghost starts to show up, this nation is going to be blowing alive. The candles of the Spirit of man are going to be blown upon by the Holy Ghost. We're going to see some blowing. Some wind is coming. Some candles are going to be resurrected, and I believe there's a lot of long distant candles in this nation that are just waiting for the quickening of the power of the Holy Ghost to just blow something new, something vital, something fresh on their hearts. And I believe that we should bring this nation before the throne of God and say, God, this nation is a nation which is a search of you, that seeks you, that yearns for you. And if evermore we need a Savior in this nation, it is now. In the midst of a recession, in the midst of a depression, there are so many people out there that are under the sway and the grip of depression and oppression. And we need to see the power of the Holy Ghost have a full frontal assault on oppression and depression and demonic possession. I believe that the enemy tightens his grip when he feels he's going to lose something. He's a bit stingy. Satan's got a stingy Scrooge mentality. He doesn't want anything to be let go. He likes to hold on. But I tell you what, we are going to see the Holy Ghost rip this nation out of his hands. Hallelujah. The grip is going to be untied, and God's coming into this nation in a more powerful, powerful way. In the book of Nahum, and that's an unfamiliar passage, an unfamiliar scripture. There was a scripture in chapter 1, verse 3, that says this, and these words are written: the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. I want you to look at that and reflect on that just for a moment. The Lord is great in power. The Lord is great in power. And the section of verse that I want to isolate for you tonight is this. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. There is a whirling wind, a massive whirling wind in this nation that's in the grip of a recessional storm. And there are people that are also, by way of translation, in the grip of a whirlwind of circumstances, of oppression, of poverty, of depression, of financial poverty. There are people who can't even lay foodstuffs on their table because they don't have enough money to pay the bills. There are people in this nation that don't even have enough money to be able to pay for their child's education. There are people in this nation that are under the grip of obsessions that are so addictive, like gambling and like betting and other forms of addictions. And God is saying they're under the grip of a whirlpool. And you just have to look around at your social fabric of society. You just have to look a little bit close and literally use that microscopic insight that you've got and look deep under the fabric of a nation and see how uncomfortable this nation is. How uncomfortable that nation has become. And how restless to such a degree that now there's a sensing of an urgency that they need something greater than what any governmental plate or policy can come up and offer. There is something that they need that's far more greater to get them out of that vice-like grip of oppression. Just look around you and look in the gutters of your society. Look into the gutters of your townships and see how many crippled corpses of people that are addicted to alcohol, that are addicted to screw sniffing, that are addicted to methamphetamine, angel dust and pee and cocaine and marijuana. You know what? Legalization of drugs is a curse. Just look at the bleeding corpses that are left unattended to. That are not being nurtured by the church today. That is not being nurtured by people. You know, I'll send them to a home. Out of sight, out of mind. Look at how many parents are not renewing their responsibilities and accountabilities of their children. Look at how many parents just don't love their children. They're just glad to see the back of their children and just say, well, don't bother coming home. I'm too busy. I haven't got the time to tend to your needs. I don't want to know you. You know, you're too opinionated. You're too argumentative. You're too much of a teenager. Grow up and become an adult. In other words, get a life. Get real. And so you get all of these different confusing patterns of thoughts that say to young people today, you know, that you're not wanted, you're immaterial, you're not significant, you have no purpose. And so they carry a no purpose mentality that when they go into the world, they don't find any definitive strength through employment because they don't have the power of God and the revelation on God born on the inside of them. They don't have a revelation of their future, let alone their destiny. They're headed to hell. They're headed to hell. And the church is saying, well, we'll just play our worship songs. We'll just pray for salvation for our youth. But there's no corresponding action that matches the words that come out from the lips of professing Christians today. They're quite happy to pass over this in the Samaritanless world, you know. They pass over the ones that they should be tending to and rescuing. What are you going to do with a drug addict? What are you going to do with someone with a needle thrust in his arm that's been shooting up on angel dust, methamphetamine and cocaine? You know, you're going to tell them that this is the way, the truth and the life. This is the way life is, so get used to it, brother and sister, because you know what? What the worst possible thing that can happen to you, bro, is that you're going to hell. And so, live your life and enjoy it on the way down there. That's life. That's what life says. But God is not the author of confusion. God is the author of liberty and life in the spirit. You see, spirit speaks to human spirit. Spirit speaks to the humanity of man. And so God as a spirit is speaking to the inner spirit of man and saying, I am the spirit of God, and I want to deposit within you a new power of liberty and life that will take you from the infirm struggles, the defiled struggles, the polluted environment you're in, to bring you into the furnace of that presence which awaits you. I want to go into the presence of God and have all the flesh burned off of me. I want to go into that presence and have the furnace of His presence literally strip away every cloaking of flesh. As a young person, we know you go through struggles, but as adults we need to be held accountable. And sometimes we fall in our responsibilities, and I think it's hurtful when an adult can't say, I've messed up. I haven't been able to follow through. I've fallen short of your estimation. And then ask for forgiveness and say, listen, I really didn't understand you, and can you forgive me? But oh no, pride rears its head like the serpent of pride. And sometimes we find it hard even to talk amongst ourselves about something that we've done or something we've said or something that's been hanging around our lives. And even as adults, mature adults, the older you get, the harder it is to talk about it. The harder it is to talk about pain. The harder it is to talk about struggles. Nobody wants to know, you think. Nobody wants to hear. And who would care anyway? What does it matter if I'm going through the torment of hell on earth? Let me tell you something. God knows. God knows. And I guarantee there are people here tonight that know exactly what going through hell is like. Because sometimes you can have an experience of hell on an earth level, and it just literally destroys all hope in God, till in the end you don't see God in your struggle, you don't see God in your infirmity, you see you in the midst of your infirmity, and the demons literally nipping at your heels trying to get a hold of you to say that God doesn't care anymore. He's not interested. See, God wants to reveal Himself as a personal God, a God who deals with relationships. And no more is this better revealed through the whirling wind and the storm. So in our lives, when the dust is lifted and rises from all of our personal troubles, traumas and anxieties and discontent, everything is roused by a whirling wind. It's absolute chaos. Did you know when wind whirls around dust, it lifts it up until there's disorder, until there's no order to the organization or the formation of it. It's absolute chaos. You know, God wants to do something and pour something of Himself into the midst of your chaos. He wants to pour something into the midst of your chaos. Young person, adult here this evening, He wants to pour of His substance of glory into the midst of the dust rising up from your troubles and your tribulations. Amen. And it's just a reminder that no matter what we're going through, God's just rustling up some dust. God's just rustling up something. And He's working out His influence and His power, His will and His purpose through the storms in your life. You know, we're always ready to quip God and say, God, it's your fault. You're to blame. You allowed it to happen. You allowed my dust dust to settle. You could have done something, God, but you didn't. You waited 4 days before you went to the tomb of Lazarus, and you've waited an eternity in my estimation to come and rescue me. Where is your hand now when I need you the most, God? You're at fault. You're to blame. Why haven't you done this? Where have you been? Why haven't I felt your presence, God? There's some dust in my life and I need it cleaned up. I need the hand of deliverance, the hand of miracles, the miraculous hand of God. We only have to look at the image or the character of Jonah, and how that Jonah is a prototype of this generation, a generation that has a real story just like Jonah did, has experiences, are the experiences that we go through in life that we see reflected or mentioned even in the media now. We've been on a journey in a boat through life, literally. Life's the boat. And it's been tossing us and tossing us from side to side until we've got a little bit of a seafaring sickness in the Holy Ghost. It's time to spill something overboard. It's time to get rid of your flesh and get a hold of God. I guarantee there are many number of people that would have the same story to tell, like Jonah. How that they heard the voice of God, but they didn't answer the call. How they heard God speak, but they weren't listening. They ignored the message. There was a little bit of a deep-seated rebellion in there, you know, and, oh, well, God will call me again. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to answer the call. I'm not ready to hear what he's got to say. And I guarantee that if you heard the story today, you'll say, I know a Jonah. I know, I would recognize a Jonah if he was out on the street. Yes, he's that unkempt, unshaven, uncouth little individual that's been walking the street. That little guy that I saw propped up on some dimly lit lamppost, you know, that's been smoking on a joint. Getting high. On drugs and drowning his sorrows into a drunken stupor through alcohol. You just have to go through. I call it the Kiwi Church. The pub. You know, I call it the Kiwi Church. You know, the Kiwis go there. And I go through, I go past some pubs and I say, oh, the Kiwi Church is open. You see, people do that because it's the Friday thing, you know. It's the Kiwi macho thing to be able to go to the pub and drown your sorrows, drink alcohol and drink till you can't remember much until tomorrow morning when you've got your face in a bucket. And then you come to church and repent on the Sunday. What thrill is there actually being sick in a bucket? What thrill is there feeling sick when you can't lift your head up off the pillow because the world seems to be rotating and moving around and around and around? The wall won't stop moving. The doors won't stop moving. You're seeing faces in the window and you see double vision. And you walk through your day like that until you get to the church and you just go and shake someone's hand and it isn't there. Oh, God bless you, brother. Oh, sorry, did I miss that? You know, that happens. And sadly, not only just worldly individuals, but Christian individuals are secretly trying to go behind the scenes or behind the background and try to hide behind untruths and sin. Oh, there's nothing wrong with a little drink now and again, is it? Nothing wrong with a quick suck on the fag. Nothing wrong. Let me tell you something. What it leads to is something that becomes addictive and works in contrary-wise to the anointing of God, because what you're doing is an anti-action or an anti-wise, anti-Christ action that only has powerful detrimental effects upon your Christian journey. All right, so some might not be nothing wrong with a glass of wine. I don't know. If you manage it, well, that's between you and God. What I'm saying is that we've got to know our limitations and our weakness. We've got to learn to manage it. We've got to learn the word no has powerful effects upon our future. And I think the hardest thing for a Christian is to say no. No to things that they know are wrong. And you know, the enemy is literally a courier system for worldly baiting. You know, the bait and the lure of the enemy with little words and little people that come around you with little suggestive words that says, oh, how about coming out to the pub tonight? How about coming out to the casino tonight? You know, how about coming out and having a little bit of a boogie with, you know, the latest pop rock band in the pub down in Avonhead or in Sumner tonight? They're going to have a real groovy session when you know you should be here in revival dancing your little night away. Amen. We're always somewhere else, but never where God wants us to be. And that we can have, or we can take it in more ways than once, or one. What about those fugitives running away from justice? What about the unanswered, unaddressed issues against your fellow men, against your parents, or grudge issues with society and judicial systems? What about those? You know, Jonah had many questions facing him. Many of the ifs and buts were in his life. But he had very few answers. The only real answer which he stated out of his own mouth is he says, maybe I'm the cause of this. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's my fault that this storm is rocking this boat. And if you throw me overboard, the storm will stop. Maybe we need to get the enemy by the scruff of the neck and say, you're going overboard, brother. You're going overboard. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we feel cheated by Christianity. Now, don't tell me you haven't been there. Come on, let's get real now. We've been cheated by Christianity. We see our friends having fun. We go to our workplaces. Adult believers, we go to our workplaces and we see people having fun, and they tend to be so caught up in the lifestyle of living life. And we only know a life of discipline as opposed to a life of undiscipline. And sometimes we've got to fall back a little bit and sit back and say, well, what's better for my spiritual body if I was to become undisciplined? Hallelujah. We've got to be a little bit more disciplined in our behavior. And it comes from what we allow to steer us in the direction of where we're heading and going to. And that is, am I going towards a liberating life, a life filled with power and the presence of God, or am I moving away into a life that is literally steered by my fleshly dictates and my fleshly commands and demands? And sometimes we've got to do what the Word of God says. We've got to bring our lives under subjection. That means subject to the result, depending upon what you subject yourself to. If you want a worldly result, then you subject yourself and bring yourself under a world's authorship and command. And then you'll incur the results of a pressurized season in your life. But if you release yourself to God, hallelujah, someone's getting a revelation. Someone's getting a revelation. I hope that's all of us. That if we come under the authority of God and the Holy Spirit, then we are born into the Spirit, and we're not born into the flesh to be partakers of the world and the flesh. We're partakers of the Spirit, not participators of the world. Hallelujah. And so maybe you've got some ifs, maybe you've got some buts. But you haven't been alone, because Jonah has been down your trail 2,000 years ago. Nothing's changed much, has it? There's still a little bit of a rebellious Christian in a lot of people. There's still a little bit of the old world in the Christian. And we've got to get the world and work the world out and work the kingdom in. We've got to work the kingdom in. Amen. Maybe you've been to hell's gates like Jonah. And if you read the story, you'll know that he says, the bars have come down over me. I'm looking through bars. Hell has a way of putting you into prison, into a fleshly prison that is so hard. Once you're entrenched in the culture of the flesh, it's hard to work your way out through your own strength. You've got to have the Spirit of God that brings you out. Hallelujah. You know, we talk about educational reform, about youth programs, about programs that we can go to, but I think that we need to deal with our involvement and what we see within the church. How can my church aid me to become a better person? What am I church teaching by way of reform? What is my church teaching by way of discipline and behavior? You know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians go undisciplined and anything goes. It's like a free-for-all in a revival service, you know. Let's have a free-for-all revival service. Anything goes. And I think you've got to understand that God is a God of order and that God is not a God that creates confusion through disorder. We've got to have a little bit of order in our lives. I think that if we can look at the outside and be objective about what we see happening to people in our lives and our friendships, then start to give some consideration to what's simmering on the inside of their lives. Adult believers, we need to be more respectful, more in a place where we give consideration to the struggles that people are going through. And sometimes we can look at these situations and say, well, you know, I could help that person, but I'm not prepared to do anything about it because I am Mr. Christian. I have the bumper sticker, I have the tapes, I have Jesus stickers all over my wall in my bedroom. I am the real deal. I am the Christian believer. But hey, I got clean hands and I don't want to dirty them. I tell you what, go in the gutter and put your hand in the gutter and you're going to get your hands dirty, brother. But that's what Christianity's all about. It's about going into the gutter and dealing with the dirt before you can deal with your own life and deal with the dirt there. Start dealing with some dirt that's around you. Start dealing with some of the dirt that you're not connected with. Some of the dirt that you wouldn't even consider dealing with. You know, we used to say in the old days, you know, the hippie movement that I came through, you know, the people with the long hair. I heard them saying words like they're beatniks and they're Beatles and they're hob hobos, and I heard all kinds of things. But I tell you what, these hobos are good Christians today and they're going on for God 100%. Why? Because they knew that in order to exist in a spiritual climate, they have to sustain motioning and momentum and movement through retaining their own individuality. And a lot of people say, well, when I become a Christian, does that mean I can't? And you know, it should never be for the church to say, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's the Holy Ghost's role, not the church. That's the Holy Ghost's role. Oh, you should never drink, brother. You should never smoke, sister. That's the Holy Ghost's role. He'll convict you soon enough when the time is right. Amen? You know, I enjoy, you know, doing things and you know, things like relaxing in front of a good movie or DVD. And do I get guilty about that? No, because I need some luxury. I need some leisure time. I need to disconnect from some things in order to connect to other things that give me enjoyment. And I think that when you become a Christian, it's automatically assumed that you no longer can enjoy your life. Christian is one big boring scenario. You can enjoy your life while you're on the ride over to eternity, brother. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. And so, Here was this bigoted little Jonah. Couldn't handle it in the midst of a storm, and he says, just throw me overboard and you'll have peace. We've got to do a little bit of throwing over, a little bit of off-casting. Look at chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, and you'll find out, just as we come down and bring this to a close now, the words that we have like, for thou hast cast me into the deep at the midst of the seas. You know, God loves to dump some people in it. Come on, don't look all pious as if you're all saintly. You haven't been there and I'm the only one. You've been there. God has a way of dumping you in it and teaching you a lesson. And he arrested Jonah's attention by allowing him to be swallowed by the word of God, says, a great big fish or a great fish. Now we assume it's a whale, but the word of God doesn't use the term whale. He says, great big fish. There's some great big fish coming to engulf your situations right now, and you are going on a seafaring journey underwater. Because God will take you down before he lifts you up. He'll take you down. Chapter 1, verse 17 says, now the Lord has prepared. The Lord has prepared. In other words, the fish was waiting for him. There was no escape. You know, he couldn't get away from that great big mouth. He just couldn't get away from it. He was going to be swallowed, come high rain or water. And you know, sometimes there's some things you just can't escape from. But God is saying to you, you know what, I'm sending a great big fish your way, and you're going to learn your lesson the hard way because you didn't listen to me the first time. Hallelujah. And the floods, verse 3 says, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. And this is sometimes an indication of how we can sit back in life and look at all the things passing by about what we could have done. And we, you know, that usually comes to people who are senior citizens, you know, in their retirement. They look back and say, well, you know, if I was younger again, I would have done it differently. Why wait till you're 65, 70 or thereabouts before you let the waves of the reflections of your memory float over your mind? It's too late to live with regrets. And here's a revelation. I cried by reason of my affliction. Don't expect it to be something that you're going to welcome. When God takes you through travail, there's going to be a human soul crying out to be heard. Verse 2 says, out of the belly of hell cried I. And thou heardest my voice, meaning God still hears us even when we're in the midst and the depths of our figurative hell experience on earth. He's still hearing us. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Verse 4. Sometimes we feel we're in the cold environment on the exterior, outwardly looking inward at everybody enjoying life, their Christian journey, but you seem to be on a class of your own, on a separate journey, struggling to maintain some decorum and dignity because, you know what, you want God, but the problem being is that you are going through the struggle. Sometimes it's not where you want to be that counts. It's where God is using where you are to bring you closer to where he wants you to be. We've got to look at every struggle as being something that is positive rather than negative. I suggest to you that sometimes we have to die to self. That's what I suggest. We have to die to self. Die to emotive things which cause emotions to arise within us that we thought were buried long ago. You know, sometimes the enemy says, hey, remember that? Let me put my finger on that raw nerve that you thought was buried 10 years ago, brother and sister. And sometimes it is painful because the flesh, when the flesh is touched in a raw state, it reacts. And that's when the enemy comes along and says, have you considered my servant Job? You know, the enemy never comes in the times when we're strong. He comes in the times when we're really on the down and out, on the back burner. That's when he comes. That's when he comes, brother and sister. And, you know, take heart, because Jonah battled and defeated his personal demons and he survived. We know what happened. If you read the story, you know the story. Jonah was spewed out, the word of God says, onto dry land, and he heard the voice again of God calling him to fulfill the will concerning the matter of the commission by bringing prophecy to the city of Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a city of sin. It was a city, a defiled city, and God had sent Jonah to be the ambassador to go into that city and bring about reformation. But you know what? Jonah only needed a taste of the great big fish once. He didn't go back there for seconds, as far as I know. Learn from your lessons. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from where you've been and where you've come from. And don't allow yourself to have to go back on a second introduction to hell. Amen? You know what he said in closing, as we close now, verse 9? It's this. He learned by his own admission. He said, salvation is of the Lord. And all I've got to do is listen, hear, and obey. That's all. And I think that applies to each one of us. We've got to listen, and we've got to hear, and we've got to obey. And the problem with Jonah is that he became so self-righteous, so self-absorbed in himself, that he thought he was above judgment. Oh, God doesn't really need me, he sent someone else. But if you recall, I don't know what ever happened to Jonah, but I know one thing, he was left still complaining. By the tree. He was still complaining. Don't think your battles are going to end just because God says here's your second chance, now go and do it. He's still complaining because he had to do the same thing twice. You know, there's some complainers in the house of God, isn't it? All they do is they make a whole religion out of complaints and excuses. We've just got to sometimes be quiet before God and let God do the introduction to your destiny. Because he wants to induct some people into their destiny tonight. And if you can just say yes to Jesus, I'll listen to you first time. Don't send me back down into the sea. Not like Jonah. Let me live and scale the heights to my destiny. My destiny which awaits me. My destiny which is before me. And you know, the lesson being is that no matter how much you complain about it, God doesn't listen. God always has preeminent will above all. Amen? Praise the Lord. Give him a mighty hand clap of praise. Amen.